Coming up, we are going to give you 8 reasons why you have to get to Universal Studios Hollywood this summer. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of The Diz Unplugged. This is episode 135 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I am your host, of course, Craig Williams, joined alongside by my co-host, Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Well, hello.
Hello, how are we doing today?
Well.
Good, yes. So, right now, as we are speaking, we are currently out in beautiful, sunny Anaheim, California. And, so that is super exciting. I could not be happier to be out there. And so when I was thinking about what we could talk about this week, I was thinking, of course, well, I'm sad that unfortunately we're only going out to California right now for the D23 Expo in Anaheim, California. And what I'd love to be doing is getting to spend a little bit more time around Hollywood, in particular Universal Studios Hollywood. So it's been basically just a little over a year since the last time I visited there, because the last time I went was I want to say July 1st or 2nd of 2016. So it's been a while since I've been back. And while not a lot has significantly changed in that time, just every now and then when I think back to it, it's like, gosh, I really want to get back out there. I want to see Universal Studios Hollywood, because there are so many great reasons why you actually should go and visit there. I know people are purist. I don't know what a purist is. People are purists about traveling to Orlando and like, oh, I'll only go to Universal Orlando, or I don't need to go to Disneyland. I only want to go to Walt Disney World. I don't understand these people at all. Not even a little bit. For that reason, let's try to do our best to convince you. If you are going to go this summer, take a last minute trip out, we are going to, in this episode, to give you 8 specific reasons why you need to go out there. So,
starting at the bottom, going to the top.
We can do it in that way.
Yeah, you gotta tease them.
Yeah,
they'll give up otherwise.
Yeah, unfortunately, my number system. Because I did it.
Oh, you just picked random 8 things.
No. I did it in the right order. My number system. I did it in notes. And because of this, actually, you know, it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I didn't do the reverse ordering. So at some point in time, I know there are only 8 numbers, but I'm sure I'm going to start screwing it up. But we will start with number 8, the number 8 reason why you need to go visit Universal Studios Hollywood this summer. Get out there immediately. And this one actually is a summer reason why you need to, and that is because the new nighttime lights on Hogwarts Castle in the Wizarding World of
Harry Potter. I want to see this real bad.
I think I just said diagonally, just the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. You want to see this real bad?
I do.
Yeah. I really want to see this too. Unfortunately, you know, we will have in Universal Studios or Islands of Adventure, we'll have our own projection show on Hogwarts Castle come Christmas. And that one is going to be absolutely beautiful, I'm sure. Even Hollywood actually is getting in on that game, and they will have the Christmas show as well too. But they are getting an early peek at how beautiful the projections can be this summer with the nighttime lights. And it looks absolutely phenomenal. So I don't want to tease this one up too much, like it is something that, like, oh, you have to plan your night around going to see this. It's definitely not that. If you've been to Animal Kingdom and you've seen one of the awakenings of the Tree of Life, just go at it with that complete complete perception that it's one of those things you want to see it because it really is a beautiful work of art. But at the same time, it's not a nighttime spectacular at all. It's some pretty lights. So.
Did you say how long it lasts? I'm sorry.
It's about a little under 5 minutes. Okay. I've watched a couple of different people's videos on it just to see some different angles, different perspectives. For the things that we don't have videos of and stuff, I'll try to throw in some links to some of our friends so you can see some of these videos if you want to spoil it for you. But the show itself really is just a very simple show. It's hosted by the Sorting Hat, which is always very appreciated to see. And the whole show is kind of based around the different houses of Hogwarts. So each section of the show kind of gets a little bit of love. You see the animal associated with the house. So like the lion comes out for Gryffindor, snake comes out for Slytherin. Do I have to keep continuing on? I don't
Gryffindor.
Think so.
Sorry, I like when the Sorting Hat says it.
Well, and then that's in that show. It's really beautiful. Of course, it makes great use of the Potter music. So it's kind of all kicked off with Hedwig's theme and gets you in that Potter mood. The best part of the show is it's just a very brief part towards the end. They reveal sections of the castle. Like the bricks kind of pull back. Think about like going into Diagon Alley, but the bricks kind of pull back so you can see people going up like the stairwells. Ooh. And, it looked like a shot of like the Great Hall. It was hard to see in video, I'm sure. In actually being there in person, you can see it a lot better, but a very, very cool effect. It's basically the entire show leads up to that last like key point where the castle is all kind of glittery and they have the big spotlights behind it. It's that glorified photo op that you want for like the best, the coolest shot of the castle. So that is happening throughout the summer. Goodness gracious, if I can work out a way to go and see this, I would be just plain smitten. But hopefully other people will be able to go out there and see it.
If I'm in the area and it time allows, I would go just for that. I know it's a lot of money to spend on just a 10-minute show, but I love Harry Potter and I love that theme park.
Well, it's a good thing you're okay.
But there's 7 other things I could look forward to doing while I'm there, too, aren't there?
Yes, there are. And yes. 5-minute show, not a 10-minute show. Don't get too many people's hopes up. So the next reason, number 7, we bring it up every single time we talk about Universal Studios Hollywood. This is nothing new by any stretch of the imagination, but over time, it's become one of my favorite things, actually, about Universal Studios Hollywood, and that is the atrocious stunt show that they still have there, Waterworld, based on the...
Did you see this when you went in July again? Do you watch it every time you go?
No, unfortunately, the day that we were flying out, my dad and I were doing a red eye, so we left wherever we were staying pretty early in the day, which I think it was just on the other side. We were staying in downtown West Hollywood area, and not downtown West Hollywood. We were staying right by the Hollywood Bowl, so we just had like a short 5-minute hop over the hill, get to Universal Studios Hollywood. Did the tram tour that had a line, and did a couple other little things. So basically, we just kind of ran out of time for making a big chunk in our day for having Waterworld, but it is something that I try to not miss anytime I'm out there. The number one reason why, well, we don't have it here in Orlando. While I usually hate stunt shows, there's just something about it that still works. For me, talking about just stunt shows in general, Disney and Universal, I never was a huge fan of lights motor action.
Ugh, me neither.
No, I mean, you had to deal with it a lot more than I did.
I have seen that show thousands of times. Thousands. Disgusting.
Just not great. Indiana Jones, while I love Indiana Jones as a concept, the stunts that are performed in the show are like something that you kind of are mesmerized as a child And as an adult, it just it's aging very, very poorly.
It don't look so good no more.
It don't look no good no more. And then, you know, going in Universal, unfortunately, we still have the awful Eighth Voyage of Sinbad show that we reviewed sometime last year or the year before, which that...
I hate that show.
That was, it's awful. It needs to just be pulled.
Did we watch it in person?
We did, yeah. I don't know if you went to it in person or just watched the video of it.
I think I had to watch the video. I think I wasn't here until the day we filmed it, and I think that's what it was. But then watching the video, I was like, I'm never going to this. Yeah.
It's definitely a must skip. And then I'll even throw in Fear Factor, because...
Still haven't seen that.
Essentially is like a stunt show of sorts. It's but
you got to hold yourself up on that bar for like however many minutes. That's a stunt.
Exactly. Stunts.
Stunts.
And so there's like really no good stunt shows anywhere. And then it gets even worse when you think about like other theme parks around the world that did stunt shows that were way more low budget and stuff than the big players, and how awful those must have been too. But for some reason, Waterworld, based on the hit Kevin Costner film, it just actually works. I don't know if it's because the acting is so over the top, or it's because some of the stunt work in it actually is good, or they just shoot off enough fire and have enough explosions and effects that it all comes together. But I always leave the show with a big smile on my face. It's just good old fashioned cheesy entertainment.
I mean, and I feel like they do stuff. It's like what you said, like because you're in Hollywood, like some of these people at the end, they announce what they've done, and you're not going to be like be blown away, but they're like seasoned stunt people. Yeah. And so I feel like because of the talent pool that they're working with, no pun intended, because it's in a big pool.
Boo.
I feel like they deliver, the stunts are, I don't know, I want to say riskier, but they're more exciting. No. More exciting, especially when the plane flies in at the end.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's a freaking plane that flies in over the wall and falls in the thing, you know
Seaplane.
What I mean?
Mariner. Yeah, and I mean, and let's just be real. The stunt show is better than the movie itself, and that kind of helps things along with it. So while I know stunt shows aren't everyone's bag.
Not my bag, baby.
Yeah, they're not your bag, baby. I think it is one of those things. If you are in Universal Studios Hollywood, you owe it to yourself to have to go and catch a show of Waterworld.
Yeah, especially because, like you said, it's something that's not here, so you got to go and see it.
Exactly. So my next thing, number six, already lost count on why you should go to Universal Studios Hollywood. This one's actually for the kids specifically. And right now, I know if you're like anyone else in the world, you're feeling Despicable Me fever, because Despicable Me 3 is just...
Still haven't seen it.
Well, neither have I, but it is just tearing up the box office. People are saying how hilarious it is.
I gotta see it.
The problem is, right now, it's still at that... I need to get it like another week or two in where people stop going to it, so that way I can be the only person in the theater. When I was in Cars 3, you know, I went with this method, except there was one other lady in the theater with probably like a baby, maybe like 6 or 7 months old, and it cried through the entire movie.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I don't want to be that guy who's like babies in movies, but... I don't have an issue that you bring the baby to the movie. That's not the issue. The issue is, are you aware of how the baby affects the people around you? So if the baby, that's fine. One noise, whatever. If the baby starts crying and won't stop, it's not get up, stand on the sideline, get the baby to stop crying there. It's, unfortunately, you've chosen to bring your baby to a movie. You got to walk outside, step outside, baby stops crying, bring the baby on back in. I don't care.
It's like you were watching, because that's exactly what she did. She did the stand on the sideline and just held, and I understand, because there was like she was with then like her 4-year-old son too, and it was just the three of them.
Oh, but okay. Now I feel bad for the 4-year-old.
There was other people in the theater. It wasn't just me. It wasn't like me and them. There was other people in there too. So it was affecting a lot of people. I digress. That's why I haven't seen Despicable Me 3 yet, because I need to go when I know no kids are going to be in there. Mm-hmm. Just like I can watch it at home with no kids in there right now. But yeah, everyone's got Despicable Me 3 fever going on right now. So what better place to go than to Universal Studios Hollywood, where you can jump into Despicable Me? And I know you're saying, well, we can do that at Universal Studios Florida as well, too. But while it is true that we both have Minion Mayhem, they have Super Silly Funland.
Yeah. And there's like a little restaurant, just a quick service restaurant.
Yep. They have Gru's like lab cafe, where you can get some good quick service food. Super Silly Funland is just all things Minions, and there is a ton of water play areas in there. So if your dream is to find a way to have your kid completely drenched from head to toe, this is where you're going to want to do it. They have their little super spinny fun little ride, basically Dumbo style ride, but with big googly eyes and stuff. There are plenty of Minion photo ops all around the area. It is super cool. It is one of those things where you just deep down you get jealous that we don't have that in Florida, because it feels like it could just be immensely popular if we would get it. And then even, we have Despicable Me, Minion Mayhem, they do, but they even like pull out that whole stretch where they have all of, where they have like Gru's next door neighbors and such. You have the orphanage there where the girls came from. I feel like because you have this all set up, you see the characters much more often there. You see the girls out and about. You see Minions wandering around.
But it makes for nice photo ops, too.
Yeah.
It makes for like a better landscape of photos. I don't know. Yep. It feels more immersive.
Exactly. So, and I know Universal Studios Japan is going to be getting their own Minion area in the future, and that's going to be insane. But for right now, if your kids are Minion obsessed, you have to get to Hollywood to see this area. It is completely worth it. It's one of those things that even if you have a little appreciation for the movie, I think you can enjoy it a lot. So moving on to number 5, you may remember last week's episode, we talked about an attraction and area in Universal Studios Florida that was near and dear to our heart. And of course, that was Jaws. So number 5, of course, the reason why you have to get out to Hollywood is to see Jaws.
Yeah.
It is summer. It's the summer of Jaws.
Well, it's also, it's like my whole argument being like the one thing that's going to make the standout difference between here and there is the studio backlot tour. That's not what it's called. Studio tram tour.
Yes.
And that Jaws is a part of that. And it's just you get to go through actual functioning sets. You get to see actual places that movies were seen. And if you're lucky, you'll see a girl urinate on the Grinch set.
Exactly. But for me, in terms of the entire tram tour, the big highlights of it, why you do the tram tour is for these broken out sections. And actually, I should do an asterisk here, not just Jaws, but also Earthquake. These are the two portions that you want, because the rest of the studio tram tour is heavily made up of Kong 360, which we have now over at Islands of Adventure with Skull Island. And then they end the tram tour off with, of course, Fast and Furious Supercharged, which we don't have right now, but we'll have in just a short amount of time.
It's
like 9 months probably until we'll be doing Supercharged. So feel like that long. Yeah, I know.
Can't wait.
Listen. Five, six, seven, eight.
Are you all great movies? Dance? Oh, okay.
No, five, six, seven, eight.
Go.
All great Fast and Furious movies. Unfortunately, Supercharged sucks. But yeah, so Jaws and Earthquake. These are the only two places in the United States where you can currently see these portions that were then blown up for Florida. And You know, like we talked on the Jaws episode, it's not much in Hollywood. You just pull into the little Amity town and you see the shark attack the scuba diver in the water before then making its charge on the side of your boat. Just very simple, but still, it's just so awesome to see that movie represented at Universal Studios Hollywood, home of Steven Spielberg. So it just...
You'll even drive down Spielberg Way, road named after him, yeah.
Yeah, but then Earthquake 2, you know, disaster, while it had some charm with Christopher Walken.
I always forget about the earthquake part.
Yeah.
Because they trick you. They trick you.
They make do.
You, I always get excited because they show me David Boreanaz and I get distracted.
Exactly. So with the earthquake portion, you know, disaster... had charm because of Christopher Walken, but overall, you really were only there for the final subway scene where you have the earthquake encounter. Just a great little moment. And you still have that on the Universal Studios Hollywood tram tour. And something about that one, it seemed like you were even more in it than the one at Universal Studios Florida. I doubt that's true by any means, and if anything, it was probably done on a lot less of a budget because it's much older and all that, but it's the only way you can see it. So get out there and see these relics, especially if you miss Jaws or Earthquake, Disaster, when you came to Universal Studios Florida. So they need to be seen. But let's tie that into our number four reason why you need to go out there, and this is kind of a larger part of what Rhino just mentioned, that all those things are available on the Universal Studios tram tour. I think a reason to go out there is to do the VIP tram tour. So,
oh yes. Yes.
Yeah, and you've heard us talk and rave about the Universal Studios tram tour from time to time on this show. It is something that we love in terms of doing a VIP tour. In a theme park, it is completely different because it's not just about going around to the rides. It breaks up a VIP tour that you would expect at a Universal park and adds on the element of doing a VIP tour at the actual studios portion in terms of, the tram tour. So if you have done a studio tour before, like a Warner Brothers lot or Paramount, it's going to be a much different experience. I just have to say that. This is more like a beefed up version of the regular tram tour that anyone can do there, but it is totally worth it. I'm not going to talk about the front of the line passes you get for stuff. I'm not going to talk about getting your own private comfy vehicle that you get driven around in. I'm not going to talk about how sometimes you get to see other filming locations that not everyone gets as good of a look at. What I want to talk about are basically two of kind of the highlight stops I think you make in the tour to places that people don't normally see.
Oh.
And the first one's a bit nerdier, so I know not everyone's going to appreciate it. I don't know if every tour stops there. I know mine did, but did you get to stop by one of the sound bays?
No.
Okay.
I went into a prop shop.
That's number two.
Oh, okay.
We got to go into one of the sound mixing rooms where they had the theater screen and all the theater seating for all the executives to sit in,
man. And
showed the giant mixing board where they were just laying over sound.
Dang, and that
doing all
cool.
that. And yeah, no, that was awesome. So that's part of the tram tour. Sometimes you get taken, the VIP tram tour, sometimes you get taken into these unexpected areas where you get to see behind the scenes and how they actually make the movies. And that is a very, very standout one that I will never forget. The other, as Rhino said, is the prop shop, which you think on the onset, like, well, how can it be that interesting to go in and see the prop shop? Well, it's because I don't think you realize how much crap is stored in this essentially a warehouse that anytime they film anything on the lot, anytime someone comes in, if Disney or Warner Brothers needs to do something on the lot and they need props.
They need a desk.
Exactly.
They need this like walking cane It's like 7,500 different versions of walking canes in there.
There was literally one row that was just full of rubber guns.
Yeah.
Just all rubber guns. More rubber guns than you've ever seen in your life. It's just, this is literally all there. And it is so cool to walk through. And sometimes you notice, like on some of the props, they're extremely heavily detailed because they're going to be used in like close-up shots and stuff. And then other times you see just like, how terrible of the props are. Like, how does this pass on screen at all? And it does. You know, it might be out of focus in the background, so it doesn't really matter, or just buried behind other things. So it's so cool to walk in there. And I believe every single VIP tour does go through the prop shop. So if it's something you've ever been interested in, I think this is something that you kind of have to see.
They'll let you take pictures and everything.
Exactly.
Good photo opportunities.
Oh, yeah. Pictures, videos, all of it. It's a marvel to see. But the other reason, which is number three, that you might be interested in the tram tour, the VIP tram tour, or just spending time at Universal Studios Hollywood, is seeing the filming locations for so many amazing movies, summer blockbusters throughout the year, little sleepers, TV shows, you name it. You are going to see recognizable locations when you are going around. So, and they do point out many along the way as you're going along in like the tram tour. So, you know, as Rhino mentioned earlier on the show, the How the Grinch Stole Christmas, they move some of the set out into the line of the tram tour, so you can see that there, and people pee on it.
Yeah, they just jump right on out whenever they got to go, and they go pee-pee right over there.
They do. They, of course, as you're moving on the tram tour, one of the neatest sections of it, I believe they've been doing a lot of filming in and around the area for the past couple years, so they haven't really had it open, but driving down the row of houses. So they've been used for many things throughout the years. It was used as, what's the name of the Desperate Housewives Road? Wisteria? Wisteria Lane. I didn't watch the show.
I thought Pete was going to have an aneurysm when we were in there.
Yeah.
He was very excited. But the Munsters house is over there, too.
The Munsters house is there, too. The Leave It to Beaver house is there, too, I believe. And one of the things I just found out, something that you and I would be really excited about, the house that they use all the exteriors for, American Housewife, is in there.
Oh!
Yeah.
I wondered why that neighborhood looks so familiar.
Yeah. So
I love that show.
It's just been used for, like, everything.
I have to go through my photos now.
And yeah, no.
That's the thing too, is you never know when something will come up later after you've been too. So you might be watching something down the road and it might show up.
Exactly. Yeah, they don't ever change it up too much, but it's always that same look and feel. So sometimes you're like, yeah, is that the same place? And a lot of times it is because they've used it so often. So that's all there. Going down through the back lot, you know, through the downtown scene. You know, that's been used over and over again.
Gremlins, it's the same thing as Back to the Future. It's Hill Valley.
Yeah, Hill Valley. So that's where the courthouse is. When I was there on one of the trips, they were doing, they were filming
Ghost Whisperer.
Filming Ghost Whisperer there. That's when they had the gazebo up in front of the courthouse. But in the actual downtown section, they were filming pickup shots for RIPD.
Your favorite Ryan Reynolds movie.
Yeah, my favorite Ryan Reynolds and Jeff Bridges movie that no one remembers anymore. So they've done stuff there. You see classic... some of the classic stuff from like the pond where they had Creature from the Black Lagoon in, shots of like the town center for Frankenstein. Even the one section, I believe it's no longer there. I think they actually tore it down as part of the Potter expansion. I could be wrong on this, but kind of towards the back on along this hillside, was where they had like, Genovia for the Princess Diaries movie. That was like...
We're not saying the big one either, though. You haven't said the big one.
We'll get there.
Okay.
And so that was that part. And then that same hillside that it kind of like blocked in on, they told us that was where scenes from Spartacus were also filmed. Mm. So it has that immense amount of history. And then the last one I leave off with before I let you wrap it all up, because you know us here, we love Arrested Development. Mm-hmm. So much, and I've been like on a binge of it lately, going through. And just last night, actually, I was watching the episodes where you first get to see Wee Britain.
And
Wee Britain is all, that whole part is filmed in the London portion of,
that's funny,
of Universal Studios Hollywood on the upper lot. And once you go there and then you watch it back and see Wee Britain, like you can literally pinpoint everything where, like, the Shakespeare Globe Theater,
where the Poppins is, and
you'd like, that's right on that corner where the Globe Theater entrance is, and you see all the normal shops and this, how the street just bends a little bit to go to the Westminster part. And unfortunately, it's a little off now because Despicable Me is on that back stretch.
That didn't exist when they filmed it,
but that is there too, and I just love that. You get to see so many great things, Rhino.
And then, of course, the iconic, the Bates Motel, as well as the house from Psycho.
Yes, and
from the movie, not the show.
But we have to also acknowledge too, yes, we realize from talking about this before, these are not
the original.
Yes.
It's a rebuilt one. We know the original was like torn down, burned down. I think it was torn down,
moved, rebuilt, all that stuff. So
not back in the day when things did not get preserved the way we do nowadays. You know what I mean? Like it was lumber, just turned into lumber. I mean, essentially, that's just an exterior of a house. So why would they think to save it?
Exactly. No, there was no reason to, except now theme park fans are just a bunch of pack rats that don't want anything to ever die and anything to ever change. And I get that because that is me too. So filming locations, a great reason to go. Number two reason to go, of course, we've talked about it from time to time, but the differences. You know, our Springfield, USA, when that opened up, it was amazing. Loved it. I still love it to this day. I think it is, it's got great food with some really bad food also hidden in there, mm-hmm. scattered throughout. It's got some great little seating areas to stay off to the side and relax. It's got some cute Simpsons props and other things like that. Overall, it's just a really relaxing place to sit and hang out for a beer, a lunch, or whatever. And then Universal Studios Hollywood comes along and just knocks their Springfield, USA out of the park.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those, like, if you love attention to details, there's stuff like, it's got, like, the school is there, and then it's got the prison and the
nuclear plant.
The nuclear power plant where there's a button where you can push to keep it from going off or whatever, or to set it off. I don't remember what you're doing when you do that, but... Like, I love that Sideshow Bob is, like, climbing down the side out of the prison, stuff like that.
Oh, they have Disco Stew on there. They
Patty
just...
and
Selma.
Selma at the DMV.
Yeah. No, they've got so much. And a lot of – and the big reason why it's different is because of space. Universal Studios Hollywood is on the side of a mountain. Which that's another
mountain.
That is another reason why you need to get out there and see it, because it is just epic.
Breathtaking views of California countryside or the Hollywood Hills and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just absolutely breathtaking seeing how different it is. Unlike any other theme park where you're usually just flat on one base, you might have a little lift, a little rise, having an upper lot with so many attractions, and then going down to have a lower lot and have even more, and having to take the Starway escalators to hell going down. Yeah, like, it's just, it's so incredible. But yeah, it doesn't have the space. So while their Springfield, USA is much smaller and more compact, they built upwards. And because they needed a second story for seating areas for their food locations, and so they were able to add more details.
Their food locations are great too, because they're, rather than ours, where they're kind of all in one place and just like side by side, is they've taken the time to theme each one. So Cletus's Chicken Shack is like the Chicken Shack, and you go in the shack, and then like the Krusty Burger is the Krusty Burger. I mean, they're all essentially the same building, but like it's three different sections of the building, and then when you go upstairs, the attention to detail up there, like in Krusty Burger, you can go find the Springfield the key to the city and stuff like that. Like, so, like, One of my favorite details, and you're not going to see it if you're going in the summer, but is during Halloween Horror Nights, they play the soundtrack to the Treehouse of Horror. So I don't know why we don't do that here, but there's a lot of stuff like that. So the music is even slightly different. It's all like slightly different, but also I like the Duff Gardens is there, you know?
Yeah, and they, as we've said before, they actually fly out the Duff beer that's made here at Florida Brewing Company out there specifically for that.
That's
so
cool.
You get the same exact unique experience at both places. So, but that's Springfield. You know, Wizarding World of Harry Potter there isn't just a complete replica. There's little details changes, obviously. Theirs doesn't have it's based off of our Hogsmeade, but they don't have Dragon Challenge there. So they kind of had to change up how that whole system's working. Just very minor changes. You'll still feel at home, but there's still little bits and sections to explore that are very unique and different. And then going into some of the attractions, Jurassic Park, as we've talked about, complete different boat ride than what you're used to. Same end result. You're going down a big hill, but they have like the sequence where you drive past the wall where the Jeep is falling down the side when it works.
You know, I which think is it's like 50% disabled now or something.
No, they got it working again.
Oh, they did? Good.
No, they did. I'm sure it's broken again already, but when it works, it is awesome. Little differences like that. On the Revenge of the Mummy episode, we talked to you about how that's completely different. It's just a complete different experience from ours, which is really nice. One other thing they have there in terms of differences, we have the horror makeup show. They have the special effects stage show, which is like, it's kind of like the horror makeup show, but on a much bigger scale and adding in different elements, adding in how green screen and that technology works. It kind of takes you through, starts with the basic, simple special effects of horror and takes you all the way up to how they're doing special effects with computer graphic imagery. It's just, it's a very cool little show. All different from what you get when you're out here. So just something to do. And that would lead us to our final number one reason to go out there at Universal Studios Hollywood. And for me, that's just plain the history behind it.
For sure.
This is, regardless of how your feelings are on Universal, what movies were made there, what there is to do there right now, It is just jam-packed full of history, Hollywood history. You know, it's been around since the early 1900s, like some of the other studios. And it's just breathtaking to think all these amazing movies throughout the year have been made there. And, you know, there's really not a lot to say it. I'm not going to give you a history lesson on how the studio started and going all the way through up. That's part of the experience that you have to discover when you go there, learn about Universal Studios Hollywood, why it's important. It's one of the very rare times, kind of like going to Disneyland. Disneyland also is a history lesson packed in a theme park because of the important history that it's made. Same thing goes for Universal Studios Hollywood. There's a lot there.
Well, I'm going to throw in an honorable mention because we, you know, you talk about the history and the differences and stuff like that. But I also think that their City Walk is an achievement as well. I know some people have said they like this one better than that one or something like that, but you know, maybe it's because it's different, but it's all these like giant signs. It's like multi-leveled, multi-tiered. And I don't know. I mean, ours is coming great along the way in the City Walk revolution that's going on right now. It's wonderful. And I am sure ours, you know, essentially maybe is better, but they have like these different types of experiences there. But it's like what you said. There's this whole like go to the park. You can enjoy all this stuff, and then you can kind of have like a dinner out here. Yeah. It's you know.
Yeah, I do love their City Walk because it's kind of a mixture of California and chains, where ours is original, original Universal restaurant creations in chain restaurants, and that's why I do actually have a good fondness for them. Like I love the Carl Strauss Brewery.
Yeah, me too. There. Yeah, or Pink's the hot dog.
Exactly.
Is that still there? Oh no.
Yeah, Pink's is still there, and then they added. I don't think it's originally based out of California, but the Voodoo Donuts.
I think it's out of Oregon originally, but yeah, that's been a big deal. But it's still like one of those like cool things that you can't, for somebody like us or somebody that's not from California, that's a like, I know it might be a chain or not original, but it's still a cool little sampling for us of something that's different from out there.
No, I completely agree. So I love it too. Well, if you need more of a background on City Walk at Universal Studios Hollywood, go and watch the intro video for Kenan and Kel, because that was all filmed at City Walk. You can see like the King Kong giant neon sign in there and all that. So,
or Coolio's in the globe.
Yeah,
right?
they were in the globe. The couch was in front of the globe. But regardless, there are so many great reasons to visit Universal Studios Hollywood this summer or very soon if you haven't yet. So we highly, highly recommend it. Get out there. Go do it. If you've been there, tell us why you love it. If you haven't been there yet and you don't have a reason why you're going, or you have a reason why you're going, let us know too, because I'd be very interested to read why you don't want to go there. So make sure you do all of that in the comments below, or you can always send us an email at uopodcast@disunplug.com. If you forget any of that, just head to disunplug.com, of course, home of our show notes page for this show and many other. There you will also find links to all of our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, along with anything else you might need. So that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much, Rhino, for having this little discussion with me.
Well, thank you for the tours of memories and California countryside.
Yes, so happy we're out there right now. I just wish we could be at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Gosh, don't even.
I know. It's and so thank you to everyone out there who listened and watched this. We really hope you appreciate it. And of course, if you haven't subscribed yet on iTunes or YouTube, make sure you hit those subscribe buttons and leave us comments and thumbs up on YouTube, and leave us reviews and all that on iTunes. So thank you so much again. That's going to do it for this episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition, but we will be back with you next week for another one. But until then, remember, no resolutions right now.